But even at such a young age, these kids, they want to complicate it. They want to look flashy. They want to go ahead of the fundamentals, not starting small and simple and working at it. And from today's passage, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9, I feel like we sometimes do the same thing with mission, with God's mission. Like how my son and his teammates complicate cricket, sometimes I feel like we can complicate mission. We complicate how we do mission, and sometimes we even complicate God's message in mission. Not necessarily to look flashy, but I think we can overthink it and sometimes get a bit overwhelmed by it, or talk about it more than we actually do it, when it can actually be quite simple. And that's what I love about today's passage. Yes, it's a specific context, and this retelling of Jesus sending out these 72 others on mission. And Jesus gives some specific instructions about what to do when they enter a home or when a town accepts them or rejects them. But Jesus' commands here on mission are so direct, and he makes it so simple. And being a simple fellow myself, I love it. Jesus says, go, prepare the way for me. Do this and say this. Jesus tells these 72 others to simply say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. It's great to hear that you are in this evangelistic series here at San Suzy Baptist on being kingdom focused. And this is the last sermon in that series, where God calls us as followers of Jesus to be kingdom focused, citizens of the kingdom of God people, hey? And being kingdom focused must drive our mission. Being kingdom deployed must drive our mission. So that we can reflect the kingdom of God to those around us. So we can tell others the kingdom of God is near. In making mission simple here, I think Jesus encourages us to do the same also. He calls us not to complicate it. Do not complicate mission's purpose. Do not complicate how we do it. And certainly do not complicate the message, God's message. But first, who are these 72 that Jesus appoints? Where did they come from? You know, we probably know about the 12. We know about Jesus' 12 disciples. And back in Luke 9, the start of Luke 9, we are told that Jesus sends out the 12 with a very similar command. Go out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, in chapter 10, we read that Jesus sends out 72 others. Go, heal the sick, and tell people that the kingdom of God has come. We don't know much about these 72 others, just that there is 72 of them, and that's a lot more than 12. It may show that mission is not just limited to the 12 original disciples, but it also shows that God's mission needs many, many, many more people. And Jesus says in verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field, which is exactly what Jesus is doing right here. He has sent out the 12, and now he's sending out another 72. And from what we read throughout the Bible, what we see in Jesus, we hear from Jesus, God's mission extends to us, doesn't it? To all of us as followers of Jesus. So we go back to verse 1. It's interesting. The passage tells us that these 72 are sent out by Jesus. And they are sent to places where Jesus himself was about to go. Jesus provides these 72 with specific directions. Go, and go to places where I'm about to go. Do not complicate mission. Do not complicate the purpose of mission. Obey Jesus and simply go. Go and tell people about Jesus. Prepare the way for Jesus. Focused. I like that Jesus gives the 72 this very simple, clear, focused, kind of single objective purpose of mission. Go and prepare the way for Jesus. Prepare the way for people to encounter Jesus, to hear about Jesus, because he is coming. We can do a lot of good stuff in the name of mission, can't we? We can transform people's lives. We can transform communities. We can help bring about amazing outcomes in people's lives and their well-being. We see it down there at Hope Street day after day with some of society's most struggling people, those who are homeless, suffering from addiction, serious mental health battles, domestic violence. And as I mentioned in those questions with Dan, we can see how important all these other things are, like casework and advocacy, the cafe, the op shop, the youth centre. All these are powerful ways in which people in the community can encounter Jesus. But we also have to remember that simple purpose of mission, for people to encounter Jesus, to hear about Jesus. And of course, then we hope and pray that they place their faith in Jesus and they're transformed by the Holy Spirit. But first, they must encounter him. It's always a good reminder to us as individuals and as a church to take a health check or a stock take on mission and why we do it. Ask the question, how will people encounter Jesus? The church might be wanting to start a new program or an event. And there's times we've just got to continually assess and reassess what we do and how it brings the kingdom of God to those around us. And this passage gives us a subtle reminder. Jesus gives us a subtle reminder of the purpose of mission, to go and prepare the way for him, for Jesus. Let us not complicate the purpose of mission. From not complicating the purpose of mission, let us also not complicate how we do mission. Let's not tie ourselves up in knots, right? The passage uses all these action words and actions of Jesus sending the 72 and the 72 going. Verse 1, the 72 are sent by Jesus. Verse 2, Jesus says, ask God to send out workers. Verse 3, Jesus commands them to go! Exclamation mark. And again, it is Jesus who does the sending. In verse 3, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Mission is to be sent by Jesus, and we simply respond by obeying him and going. Another way of thinking of this is just knowing that we are always on mission, aren't we? No matter where we are, what we are doing, we are on mission. As followers of Jesus, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So then, aren't we always on mission in the world? As that massive sporting goods company would say, just do it. Or as Elvis puts it so poetically, a little less conversation, a little more action. Let's get on with it. And sometimes that does mean being intentional and traveling, door knocks, letterbox drops, however it may look. But as a church, there can be this tension between what we'd call attractional versus missional, right? And just really crudely, attractional is where you attract people to come to you, to the church or the church building, you put things on at the church. And missional is when you are going to others, you are going out, you're going out and about. Personally, and maybe a little controversially, I tend to think that we can both be both attractional and missional. And I tend to try not to separate them. I think they can work hand in hand and we can strike this balance between the two. I don't think we can discount the capital of the church and the church building, can have that the capital that it can have for some people. Not, of course, not everyone. But in my experience, for those who are battling, they see the church as a refuge. If you're interested, Tim Chester articulates it so well in his book, Unreached. And that's why I love hearing about the food van events here at San Susie. it kind of combines the attractional and the missional, doesn't it? You've got this great space, you've got this great location, you're inviting the community in, people are coming along from the community. It's just great stuff. In addition to Jesus sending the 72 and the 72 going, he gives them two simple instructions in verse 9. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. That's it. That's it from Jesus. The first thing, be open to the miraculous, hey. Be open to God healing, providing, freeing people, speaking to people. Before Hope Street, I was the pastor at Newtown Mission for 3 years. And some of the most incredible moments of testimony were when people were healed. Or God would miraculously provide food at the last minute. And we would celebrate those moments. They were rare, but we would celebrate them and give God all the glory. The second instruction from verse 9 is to simply tell people that the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus does not complicate how mission is done. Go, act, speak. But let's turn to what it means to speak and the actual message that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now at the time, in hearing this message, the Jewish people may have thought, hallelujah, it's happening, we are free. The kingdom of God will conquer our enemies. We will be liberated from Rome. And for those who are not Jewish, they're probably thinking, which God has come? Whose kingdom? And why would God come here? But we have to connect this message, the kingdom of God arriving, to the arrival of Jesus back in verse 1. That where the 72 are going, Jesus is not far behind. Not only is Jesus not far behind, he is here now and so is his kingdom. And the 72 are called to announce that the kingdom has come. It has come in Jesus himself. But also as followers of Jesus, the 72, they're citizens of the kingdom of God. And therefore they can testify, they can speak from first-hand experience of the kingdom of God and tell others that it has arrived. It's a challenge for us, isn't it? To tell people that the kingdom of God is here. It makes sense that if we are to do that, then we have to be people of the kingdom of God, citizens of the kingdom of God. We cannot tell people about something that we ourselves do not believe in. Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? Are you of the kingdom of God? And if so, how would those around you know that? Do people around you know that you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus? How do you tell people that the kingdom of God is here? How do you show it? How does your life reflect the kingdom of God? At its heart, it's such a simple message. The kingdom of God is here. And so let us not complicate it. But it can be daunting. It can be scary. So let me just suggest a couple of things. Have you ever had one of those challenges? Have you ever had someone put it to you, explain to me the gospel in 60 seconds, in 30 seconds. You get all nervous, you get all stressed. Oh gosh, Jesus was born and he lived and he died. He rose. Oh, repentance and the saving of sins. Oh, I missed out on the Holy Spirit. Oh, the sanctification. Now, don't get me wrong. Having a good understanding of faith, of the gospel, of the Bible is super valuable. And it's great to work on those skills to be able to articulate and speak about the things of our faith when we need to. But sometimes in the moment, I feel like we just have to keep it simple. When we just have that brief interaction with someone, which happens 10, 20, 100 times a day, we only have a couple of seconds sometimes, don't we? At Newtown Mission, I would always say to the team before we were opening up before meals, when you give someone a meal or you give someone a tea, make them a coffee, just say, God bless you. Or if you have been talking to someone, say, oh, I'll be praying for you. Or if you want to take it a step further, can I pray for you? Just saying these simple things in the moment can open up further opportunities. And importantly, it says to the other person, hang on, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And hopefully that will lead to further conversations. It may not, but it might. It doesn't have to be you Bible bashing someone or giving a 15-minute presentation on apologetics. You may only have a couple of seconds. Just saying something simple and warm which reflects God. And I would encourage you, just practice it. Just add it into your routine. You're picking up the morning coffee from the local guy. Just say bless you. Or you accidentally bump into someone on the street. Sorry, God bless. And what are some other things? What are some other simple ways that we can just show people that we're people of God, citizens of the kingdom of God? I've heard of people on public transport just opening a Bible, sometimes the biggest Bible you've ever seen, and just reading it, and how that people become curious. Oh, hang on, what's that person reading? Oh, they're reading the Bible, and striking them a conversation. Sometimes it's just playing worship music softly in the office, if you're allowed. They're just simple things we can say to people, or that we can do to show that, hang on, I am of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is here. And who knows where that might lead. Also, always remember that what you do, who you are, how you act, your character, your values can all point to the kingdom of God without even saying a word. Have you heard these like Christian cliches, these mottos? You may be the only Bible someone will read, the only Jesus some people will see. Preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. All these sayings emphasize that we can also show people we are citizens of the kingdom of God, but by who we are and what we do, not just by what we say. I remember in a past job, we had successfully met this like crucial project deadline. It was a very stressful time and it was terrible, and we kind of just all crashed, the team and I just crashed in a heap in relief. A little day or so later, we had a bit of a celebration party and we're just sharing some war stories on this project. And in front of everyone, this manager turns to me and says, "Hey Sam, whereabouts from the country are you from?" I was like, "Is he having a go at me?" And I replied, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, you don't swear. You don't talk back. You don't seem to join in any of the gospel. And you definitely drink a lot less alcohol than the rest of us here." And at the time, I wasn't quick enough or maybe brave enough to say something like, "Not from the country, mate, just a follower of Jesus." But there was obviously something that he noticed. To finish up, to not complicate mission does not mean to do it alone. We must do it together. We do it as a church. We do it as the family of God. So as a church, continually talk about it, pray about it, spur each other on, encourage each other, challenge each other. Do it together. It was really interesting. During the week, preparing for this message, this great resource called Plan A came my way from the Baptist Association, from Crossover. I don't know if you know about the group and the webpage. It's got that tagline, helping Australian Baptists share Jesus. But this Plan A is just really great. It's just five simple principles in evangelism, in mission, and just a whole bunch of resources to help churches grow and how we talk about sharing our faith and how we live it out. I've only had a really quick read at the moment. But it very much aligns with what we're talking about today, to not complicate things. So it's definitely worth checking it out. Don't you love Jesus?
Amen.
Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love his teaching and his leadership? And his sometimes no-nonsense approach. That approach he takes in today's passage. This no-nonsense approach to mission. We are in the world. This is our mission field. There are plenty of opportunities to prepare the way for Jesus. So let's get cracking, hey? As Kingdom of God people, let's together bring the Kingdom of God to those around us. We don't need to complicate it. Let us not complicate mission. Let's not complicate its purpose, how we do it, and let's definitely do not complicate God's message in it. But let's keep it simple. And as Jesus says, go. How about I pray? Oh, Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for Jesus and how his teaching, his word, his life,